Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 135 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. You all right, Sean?
I'm very, very good. I'm working my way through the chocolates that are left from Christmas.
And the rest, and a little bit of, you added a little something in your coffee then, I noticed.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope, Sean.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to get through, though.
I have, yeah.
Before the detox starts.
Well, I told everybody that I either wanted, if I couldn't eat or drink, I didn't want it. And they've taken me at my word, and here I am. Inundated with the most amazing marzipan from Germany.
Niederreger.
Yep.
These are lovely little chocolates. Covered in, well, marzipan covered in chocolate. Who does it? Marzipan feels like something, tastes like something that's probably got something that's quite good for you in it. Like coconut or something.
It's almonds.
Almonds. Oh, okay, almonds in. That'll do it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love marzipan. Very, very good.
We're doing a show this week about willpower. Last week, we did one which was a bit of a anti-goal-setting resolution-ish podcast for the new year. But this one's for those folks that, you know, are undertaking some challenges for the year, whether it be get fit or something grander or who knows what. But it's about willpower this week, because that's a key ingredient, isn't it, to making sure you stay on track.
If you didn't listen to last week's episode, you do need to go back, because you can't move into the future without letting go of the past.
Yeah,
and that's the point. And it's, you have to have done that to be successful. To make this week's work successful, you have to have paid attention to last week's.
So if you haven't listened, rewind.
And should,
listen to episode 134, then hop back in.
Yep.
And now you're back. Well, while you're doing that, we'll have a little chat about how we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're back to work, Sean.
Yeah, yeah, I'm back. This is Monday today. We're recording this, so we go out on Thursday.
Monday 4th.
And I've walked straight back into busy. My thing is that January becomes divorce season very often. Lots of people have relationship issues piling in after Christmas, and we haven't started that yet, and yet I am crammed to the gunnels with people.
Yep.
Which I think describes more of the problems in society.
Ooh.
And things that are actually going on, really.
Uh-huh.
Which is tough. But on the basis that we will look after each other, we will all be all right. I'll carry on working with it, and I'm sure you will.
It's a good time to be a therapist, eh?
I hope so.
What percent, when the divorce season does open, what kind of percentage of... it's tricky to answer. Do you kind of... relationships you that come across, do you try and heal and fix, and what percentage do you kind of...
I don't try to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Try is the wrong word. It's more to do with enabling people to make appropriate decisions for them.
Okay.
Most couples end up in therapy because they want to make it work.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, therefore the majority of people make it through. And it's good. Sometimes it's a hard slog, but it's good. Some people come into or bring couples work into this kind of setting because they want to make an ordered and orderly ending to something.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough too. And if you can negotiate endings, it's much better than having the running, screaming, shouting stuff that goes on.
Yeah, I bet.
One of the things that everyone should notice though is that both Ed and I have... blues voices. We're going to start singing the blues. We both have got...
I think we did last week too. Coughing me. I've got to aren't we? But we're soldiering on, eh?
We know.
Because of the immense amount of willpower we have to do this show. I'm back to work as well. I haven't written it down there, but I saw Star Wars last week.
Yeah, we saw Star Wars.
Have you seen it? What do you reckon?
Amazing.
I thought it was alright.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You look a bit kind of sceptical.
Yeah, I'm not... I mean, you know, I enjoyed it. I'm not a big Star Wars guy. I'm like, I wasn't... as a kid, I didn't have all the dolls and all that stuff. But I appreciate the original movies, you know, because it's a great universe that was created.
I thought it was all quite emotional, really.
Yeah, I think... But I thought it could have been a lot more emotional. That's what really disappointed me.
So what would you have done to...
I mean, a few spoilers here, so if you haven't seen it, just fast forward a couple of minutes. But the whole Han Solo and his son storyline... which was invented for this set of movies, because I was halfway through and I was thinking, have I missed something? Like, I don't remember Han Solo having a kid, and I don't remember him falling out with the kid, etc. Mm. I think they could have done a lot more to invest in that relationship, because obviously there's the bridge scene at the end where it all goes on, and then I wasn't that bothered. It's like, I didn't feel like they hated each other that much. Anyway,
I thought the very last scene was the one that was very poignant, because there was no words, it was all just looks.
Yeah.
And then the film ended at that point, you think,
Dope. Yeah. It was cool, man. I enjoyed it, but it must be tricky, because he's got to cater for so many the proper diehard fans and the new people.
I was with it. I thought it was good.
It was well, you know, directed and well paced. I just, Hey-ho. Should we get on with the show? We'll talk about Star Wars.
All right, then.
Giving them more free advertising. It's everywhere at the moment, isn't it?
Maybe they'll pay us, do you think?
I think so. We'll probably get sued for even talking about it. Yeah, no one knows, guys. Anyway, yeah, willpower. So, another quick reminder, last week's show about, you know, it was all about if you're wanting to move on and get some stuff done in 2016, then, well, two things you will need to do is first clear out your past and make sure everything's okay in there. And second is you're going to need a bit of willpower, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about this week.
Yeah.
And interestingly, we went on a few websites and blogs to kind of get a bit of inspiration for this week's show. And they all, whether it's 3 tips, 5 tips, 8 tips, 15 tips for more willpower.
They all said what we were saying.
Say the exact same thing, pretty much.
I think that the one thing that people don't say, which I think needs to be said, is that when I say to people things like, OK, what do you want to get out of this year? They say things like, I want to be happy. And things like that are too bland. It's like trying to grab mist.
Yes.
You actually have to have somewhere to go. You have to have a goal to aim at. And being happy is an emotional state. It's not a goal. And you can be happy doing nothing. You can be happy doing something. So it's like the issue isn't about, do I want to be happy? Well, the issue about creating something is having something to create. So that if you are going to... Say that the image is, I'm going to go to the gym. Yeah, that's like saying I want to be happy. The issue is, why do you want to go to the gym? Because if you can be clear about why you want to go to the gym, then you've got a chance of being successful. I suppose I just want to go to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the gym thing is big in this time of year, and this is when gyms make a lot of dosh, don't they? Because people sign up for memberships that they then don't use much later in the year. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the difference between saying you want to go to the gym more and having a specific kind of
reason.
It's
the why you want to go.
It's okay if you want to drop a dress size or a jean size or whatever. Yeah. It's all right to say that, isn't it?
Yes. There was a guy on TV at the weekend, Russell Grant, the astrology guy.
Is he still going?
Is he still going? I was amazed. He was one big lad. He was 27 stone.
Was he that big, was he?
He's down to 16 stone.
Oh, blimey.
And he still looks pretty big at 16.
He did it just by talking. That guy can talk.
Yeah, just massive effort. But but the thing that scared him into losing the weight was he developed a cancer.
Right.
And that's what made him change.
Based on his unhealthy eating habits or whatever he was doing.
I don't know which kind of cancer it was, but he just mentioned in the thing that he developed a cancer and he decided he had to get his act together. So number one is he's lost 11 stone of weight, which is incredible achievement to do.
That's more than an Ed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's more than a Sean. Well, not quite.
Yeah. Yeah, nearly your fighting weight, eh?
I'm nearly there.
You know, you don't like to talk about your age, you don't like to talk about your weight as well.
Well, I'm only 7 stone.
Very good. Yeah, I was actually slight sidetrack watching a show that was on Channel 4 last night, like the best diet in the world or something like that. It was an hour and a half long, actually, but it was ranking the top 50 countries in the world on diet.
Right.
So it's quite interesting, you know, America was 43, Britain was like top 30-ish, 35.
So what's the best one?
Well, number 2 and 3 were Greece and Italy, the Mediterranean diets, lots of olive oil, fresh veg and what have you. Yeah. Quite rich, really, but they do all right. They work forever as well, you know, the guys up in the hills.
Yeah.
Like 80, 90, and they're still working.
Yeah.
Number 1 was Iceland, interestingly, and it's a lot of crazy amounts of fresh fish.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really cold there as well. Oh, well, generally quite cold, which kind of helps with the metabolism.
Yeah.
But I'll try and remember to link to it in the show notes. It's quite an interesting read.
Yeah.
How much diet can affect. Diet has a big. That moves on nicely to the willpower thing, because of most of the blogs I read, one component of the top 8 ways to was diet. You know, get your food intake sorted, because what you eat has a massive impact on your neurological signals.
Food and mood.
Yeah, that's an easy way of saying it.
Food and mood, food and energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some foods that just, it's like if you belt a whole load of meat, because of the, what happens is that the blood in your system all concentrates around the mesenteric complex, around your gut to digest the food.
Yeah.
It comes away from your brain, so you go to sleep. That's why Sunday afternoon classic was people after roast dinner would all kind of nod off in front of the fire because they were digesting all this heavy food.
Yeah, well, Christmas Day is like that pretty much everywhere up and down the UK, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone falls asleep 2-3 o'clock in front of the Queen's speech and all that. But could it be food? Could it be the speech? Who knows? It's a mystery. Yeah, one other point that which wasn't mentioned too much, which I did want to say, which is related to that food intake and energy levels, is that if you are struggling for willpower, just kind of make a note of what point of the day it is as well, because I know from personal experience, you know, 2-3 in the afternoon is a bit of a low point for me energy-wise. Yeah. I've had lunch, I've been working a lot of the day, staring at screen, and I'm kind of starting to run on empty a little bit. So there's probably things that I could do to address that.
If you go into the Ayurvedic system, it's different times of day. So six to nine is red, 9 to 12 is orange, then it goes yellow in 3-hour sections. And the section you're talking about is green, which is to do with its emotional ego time.
Right.
And we also do a podcast on cycles of the day and how people function in different ways, different times of day. But most people in societies like ours dip between 3 and 5.
Yep.
They dip right down, then they'll start coming up again. And that's siesta time in places like Spain.
Right, yeah. And my brother, his girlfriend is Colombian, but lives in Madrid currently. And my brother lived there for a long time too. And she was over at Christmas. And she kind of disappeared every day. Well, you know, when we were seeing her. About that time, and she was quite often having afternoon naps, which to us was strange. She was going for a nap. Yeah. She's out for a nap. Lightweight, whereas we're all kind of like really needing one.
But if you look at the way that we work at the moment, where we work massive blocks of time and we sleep blocks of time, it was never like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's only industrialised society that does that.
Yeah.
And the idea that people would sleep for 8 hours or more didn't happen. People would sleep a bit, get up and do some, and then go and sleep some more.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff. There's a book called The 4-Hour Body, Tim Ferriss, which I've linked to loads in the past, which deals with all these things as well, and some great tips. And it's got something called the slow carb diet, which a lot of people swear by in terms of losing weight. But when you talk about sleep there, that comes on nicely, because a lot of the blog posts I found mentioned sleep.
Yeah.
As one of the key components, you know, make sure you're getting enough of the stuff.
Well, again, I want to butt in on that one. It's not getting enough, it's getting the right quality.
Yeah.
You can sleep for hours and wake up and feel like you're dead.
Mm.
You know, it's getting the right kind of sleep. And sometimes you need some help with that. And some recordings are good because they affect your brain waves and get your brain waves right to get you into the right sleep pattern.
Okay.
But along with that are things like, if you want to get proper sleep, don't go into the bathroom, turn the light on full and clean your teeth because you wake your brain up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn all your phones and stuff off for a good hour before you go to sleep so that your brain's got time to shut down, and turn the lights down low so you've got that dusk feeling.
Are you allowed to have a read? Are you allowed to have a book?
Not really.
Really? Shouldn't be doing that?
No. No, because you're activating your brain again. You're activating the cortex.
Mm.
You know, and there are some people that say, no, I read a book to fall asleep. You know, and I guess that must be relevant for some people. But lots of people would be reading the book, activating the wrong parts of their brain, and then not having good sleep.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm tending to read quite a bit of non-fiction at the moment, which is stimulating my brain and getting ideas flowing.
So what kind of non-fiction are you into?
Oh, well, I'm still reading that Great Disruption book about kind of renewable technology and all that stuff coming in. So it's getting me really stimulated at night, and I'm getting loads of ideas, but then I'm going to sleep and forgetting them. I'm waking up and like a feeling drowsy.
If you get into active dreaming, you know, sometimes you can commit your system to dreaming about what it is that you're interested in.
Uh-huh.
And go and investigate it in your sleep.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we could do a podcast about that. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sleep, loosely linked to that, and what is meditation, which is another key one. The first blog post I read suggested meditating minimum 5 minutes a day.
Well, again, I'm being one of those, aren't I?
Yeah.
When you meditate, if you do 5 minutes, you get into a bit of relaxation. You know, you need to get the other side of 20 minutes to start getting therapeutic. Yeah, 20 minutes and up, then you start to do it. I've run a mindfulness program tonight already with a bunch of people.
Oh, cool.
And there's a girl there, one of the nurses on the program, and she was saying how since before Christmas she's now doing 30 minutes a day. She does a little meditation in the morning and she does 30 minutes in the evening. And she was talking about the amazing benefit that that's having on her system and her life.
Right.
But you have to get to that. It's the over 20 minutes, and the nearer you can get from 20 minutes to an hour, you're starting to get into serious stuff then.
Yeah. Into the good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of people do what is effectively a deep relaxation. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. But it's not meditation. It's
okay.
Not the same thing. Yeah.
We have done lots more on meditation in the past.
Yeah.
We did a good old episode, well, two-parter of meditation when we had that chat from Headspace.
Yep.
The doctor there speaking to us. Well,
Dr. Cox.
You're looking at getting a bit deeper into that. Have a listen to that one as well.
Yeah.
In the archive.
Yeah.
Have a plan for when you crack or falter, because we're all going to experience setbacks along the way, and how we deal with those setbacks and how we react to them is quite important, I'm assuming.
I think that whole issue about setbacks is the issue in Britain. We have setbacks and we have problems. In other countries, we have opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like failure isn't an option. If failure, what we would normally call failure, is a learning point or a redirection, it teaches us something.
Yep.
So we've learned from that mistake, so we don't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's different to failure. Failure is a negative connotation. Whereas if we're redirecting or we're responding to different stimulus or changes, then we're moving it forward.
Yep.
You know, it isn't failure.
You know, just a mere setback.
I think failure is when you give up. Failure is when you say, oh, this doesn't work, and you stop, as opposed to saying, OK, this doesn't work the way we're doing it. How are we going to change it to make it work?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was a failure becomes a success.
Yeah.
It's too easy to go, no, you can't do this.
Sure is. Okay, cool. I mean, yeah, the little link thing I found about the psychologytoday.com, what was the final one? Remind yourself why and what you're doing. I mean, just in terms of staying on track, is to constantly kind of remind yourself why you're doing things.
Right.
As well, and I guess that comes into the idea of visualization.
Yep.
And kind of visualizing that future constantly, so you're getting closer and closer.
Well, I made my own list here, so I started off with mind over matter. So, and that's that concept of thoughts become things. Anything is possible if you can visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can visualize the top of the mountain, you can get there as long as you keep taking the small steps. Yeah. The other one here is let go of your ego. People think of egos as things that are like kind of who's the biggest guy in here before I came in here and I caught. But an ego is about self-image, but self-image has a limit and you have to be able to go beyond the limits of your ego. And very often we're not aware of that. So that someone keeps trying to be successful but has an ego image that they're a failure.
Okay.
So they keep failing, which proves to them that they were right. But they still have this drive to be successful. Uh-huh. And you have to understand your ego. And sometimes that does mean talking to another person to get your head around it. But very often failure is about the things that we've rehearsed to do. So for me, we have to rehearse success. It's like if you've got somewhere to go, and if your image is I'm going to lose 11 stone, like Russell Grant, you have to be able to visualise yourself with less than you've lost the 11 stone, so you're down the size.
Yep.
You have to be able to see it, to rehearse it. And when you go to bed at night, you have to rehearse where you're going. And that's followed by things up on the wall here, the never, never give up stuff.
Yeah.
It's that determined action. It's like if you fall down, get up. Now, if you fall down, don't lie there and wallow in it. If you fall down, get up, dust yourself down, sort yourself out and get on with it.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's where kind of willpower and success come from. People that fail because they fall down and sit down and then they think, I can't get up now.
Ah.
Yeah, you have to be able to keep getting up and keep going. And if you talk to anybody who has been successful, they've had a series of things that didn't work the way they wanted them to. And yep. I'm not going to use the word failure for that. Yeah, they had a series of things that taught them lessons to get them to the point where they got what they wanted.
Yeah, I'm reading it. I don't know if it's fair using examples like this, but I'm reading this Elon Musk book as well at the moment. And SpaceX is one of his companies, like the other one's an electric car company. It's just ridiculous how he's doing it. But SpaceX had a really big setback. Well, they've had quite a few. A few months ago, one of the rockets went off into space and blew up before it got into orbit. Satellites destroyed, all this kit that was going to the space station that NASA had paid them to take up exploded. Big deal. And then, three months later, or last couple of weeks ago, they sent another one up, like 11 satellites into orbit, and this huge rocket that's like 11 stories tall flipped around, spun back around, and then landed itself on the ground like a rocket, like a pencil. So it's a reusable rocket, which is...
Wow.
It's the first one that is big enough to go all the way into orbit, because the Amazon guy had done it a few weeks before that, but to a much lower altitude.
So they actually took it up, it delivered its payloads, and then came back down again.
And landed, yeah. Wow. Which is instantly going to reduce the cost of space travel by about 50%, if they can keep doing it, and ultimately by 90-odd%.
Wow.
It's amazing. But yeah, they've had massive setbacks, man.
But I like that, the setback. It's not a failure, it's a setback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had to go back a few steps. Now we need to move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Cool. All right, I'm glad I showed up to this one. You mentioned before about it's all right sometimes to speak to, to get someone else involved and speak to people.
Yeah.
I want to make a point about who it is you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Cool, I mean, you're getting the professional help, that's all right.
Yeah.
But this is the point about being really careful who you're spending your time with, when you're making these big changes to your life. If you're still hanging around with the same people and listening to the same old rubbish, you're just going to slip straight back into it, aren't you?
Well, I've referring back to Harv Eker when we're talking about this, and it's that bit that I really love in his Millionaire Mind bit, where there's the guy who's the pain in the backside, and he says to him, Fred, why are you always moaning all the time? And Fred says, I'm moaning because my life's so terrible. And he says, no, your life's so terrible because you keep moaning. Shut up and go away. And that's right. You don't want to sit around with people who are going to moan about things,
mm-hmm.
who are going to see fader everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can catch it. It's like a disease.
Sure. So, yeah, be careful who you spend your time with. My last point was about just drinking lots of Red Bull as well.
Yeah.
In doubt. It doesn't actually
work.
Keep
yourself awake.
I tried that on one of my projects at university once. I left it till the last day because me and my pal were going to stay up all night drinking lots of... It wasn't actually Red Bull. It was like the Morrison's own brand.
Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah. We stayed up caffeinated all night. Got this project done. Presented it the next day like a zombie. And failed. It was the only unit I failed at uni. But I got my 2-1. Yeah. Don't just drink loads of rebel. Dear me, any other tips or anything else?
Well, the last thing here is be a truth speaker. If you know that you're someone that tells the truth and that you know that what you say is not a lie, if you say out loud, I am going to, whatever the it is,
yep.
become a millionaire, lose weight, do whatever.
Go to the moon.
Yeah? If you have said it, you will do it because you know that you speak the truth. if you know that you're a kind of a peddler of falsehoods, and you can say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and then you don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means that the words that come out of your mouth are actually quite useless. Yeah. Whereas if you're a truth speaker and you say, I am going to do that, then you do it. Yeah. And you're now going to say to me, and you haven't finished the attic yet.
Yeah, it's only 4 days into 2016.
Yeah.
Have you finished it yet?
We'll be there. we've had a couple of setbacks. But we've learned from these setbacks.
Learned plenty. Have you got a resource for us?
Well, I'm going for Harv Eker's Millionaire Mind.
Yeah, classic.
Audible version is the best.
Yeah, stick it on in your car while you're driving along.
And he reads it himself. He's great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, he's
good, yeah.
Cool guy. Mine is... I've linked to it in the past. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's a Jerry Seinfeld web series.
You've mentioned that. Yeah.
Series 7 has just come out online. And he's... Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and he's in a car with Barack Obama.
Wow.
Episode 1.
Really?
Yeah. So, good PR for the president, because he's done some cool random stuff. I didn't see it, but didn't he do that show with Bear Grylls over Christmas?
No, I don't.
Which I need to watch.
Yeah.
I know Obama's done a podcast called WTF, which is amazing. He actually went to this guy's garage to record a podcast. But Jerry Seinfeld is quite a big deal, but he's got the president on his show, and Seinfeld's a good one to look at. He meditates regularly. He's into his transcendental meditation.
All right. Yeah.
You know, he's a multi-millionaire based on just telling people jokes.
Mm.
He doesn't swear either. He makes a point of not swearing.
Well.
Which is kind of makes it tricky, but yeah. You need willpower to be a comedian, because you're getting reviewed every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a really tough profession.
But how many people that are in those kinds of worlds end up being psychologically disturbed or suicidal?
Yes. It's a tough world to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
But he seems to be doing okay, and he's just interviewed the president on his little web series, so, yeah, hang around with him for a few...
I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay, cool. We've had a listener request for next week. Ian has emailed us. We're going to be talking about introversion.
Yeah.
Ian's quite comfortable with his introversion.
Yeah. And so he should be.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to investigate that, the power of introversion.
And,
but, you know, you've still got to go on with the rest of the world, haven't you? So there must be issues and kind of challenges along the way.
I think that introversion is as powerful as extroversion. We just need to understand where it fits in.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks to Ian. And anyone else out there, if there's anything you would like us to discuss, just drop us an email. Anything at livingthepresent.co.uk, and we'll add it to the list and get it up there, won't we?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay, livingthepresent.co.uk is the website. Lots of show notes, lots of links for this week's show, all the previous episodes as well. Don't forget to grab a copy of our book, Live in the Present, as well. Fantastic. We got a few orders last week after
you did, yeah.
We mentioned it.
It was good.
Finally mentioned it. So
yeah. So someone that was on the mindfulness course tonight said, "Oh, I got Live in the Present as Live in the Present." As a Christmas present.
Hey.
Yeah.
We should do some kind of... Yeah, we should have done some kind of Christmas.
We should have done.
We're not quite smart enough, are we?
No. We need to be on the next year.
We'll get there.
We'll be millionaires.
Yeah, but don't wait till next year to buy it. okay, right, Sean. Thanks for your time.
And you.
See you all next week.
Be happy. Take care.
Toodaloo.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.